What does this story mean? What does this story about the birth of Jesus Christ mean? Surely in this season of Christmas, this is a season of celebration for Christians. But a celebration of what, quite? What does it mean that Almighty God should come to earth not with a voice booming from a whirlwind, but with an infant's cry? As much as these stories are familiar to us, as much as they taste of milk and cookies on the mouth, these stories are strange. The story of the birth of Jesus is strange. It is a story about a host of angels from the courts of highest heaven, and a story about lowly shepherds who live outdoors. It is a story about young women yet to be married, not certain what their future will hold, and it is a story about an aging married couple who long ago gave up any hope of having children. This story is also filled with music. The story is filled with singing, which is an expression of joy too profound for the mere sterility of speech to capture on its own, but which must necessarily overflow out into music, overflow into tone and rhythm and interval and harmony to transform the intent to praise with words into the practice of praise through song. In Luke's Gospel, In the first two chapters alone of Luke's Gospel, there are four songs. There are four hymns, four canticles of joy that have been recorded in Scripture itself. In one of these songs, a woman who is said to be unable to bear children delivers a healthy baby boy, one who is to pave the way for the coming of the Lord. And the song that the child's parents sing is one of joy that God is ever faithful. The name of that song is Benedictus. In another song, an old man who had been faithful to God his whole life holds the infant Jesus, and with his own curled fingers, he holds a hope too wonderful to have ever been imagined. That song is called Nunc Dimittis. In another song, a young woman is told that with her strong hips, she would need to bear the weight of the world's salvation. And her song is one of defiance and joy, that God should choose her for an honor that is greater than any other worldly honor. And that song's name is Magnificat. Each of these songs, they are expressions of joy. Because the Savior's coming into the world swept these people up into the story of God, and their lives were changed forever. They were forever altered at their very essence by their encounter with God in Jesus Christ. For them, their joy is so deep that words are not enough. They must sing to give full expression of what this means for them. But if you recall, I said that there are four songs which are sung at the birth of Jesus. Three are sung by human beings. The fourth is sung by the angels. The fourth is sung by the angels, and their song at the birth of Jesus is one of delirious and overflowing joy, one that embraces all the world with peace and goodwill. This angel song, which we sing even today, perhaps you know this song's name, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. The host of heaven sings for joy and plays their trumpets and their cymbals and their lyres. They sing with joy. Heaven sings for joy. And this is where the story is particularly strange, because why should they sing? Why should heaven's joy overflow into music? What does God have to be joyful about in this? The coming of the Savior into the world, that is good news for the people of earth, to be sure. Jesus' birth means salvation for the world, to be sure. Much joy is to be had there for the people of the earth. But what does God have to gain from this? The coming of the Savior has a cost. It means sacrifice on God's part. To be born in human flesh means that God will suffer weakness and loss and hunger and deprivation and humiliation and death. What is there to be joyful about in that? And yet here, from the very messengers and mouthpieces of heaven, we learn that God's heart is overflowing with joy. That it is incomparable bliss for God to be born in Jesus Christ. God's personal joy is so great that the whole hosts of heaven must sing. But why? What is this joy? What is its source and its meaning? To understand God's joy in this, you have to understand the character of God. You have to understand who God is. Not God as we might imagine her, not God as by the power of our own reason we might lay out precepts for what divinity ought be. I mean God as revealed in Holy Scripture. There in Scripture we read that God is the creator of all that exists, the creator of a world that is broad and good and filled with delight and abundance. And into that good world God placed humanity. And made humankind in God's own image, and even breathed God's own spirit into their bodies. And God invited them. God invited humanity to be with God, and to stay beside God, and to love God with all their hearts, and all their minds, and all their strength. But humankind would not do that. From the Garden of Eden to Cain in the wheat fields to Joseph's brothers selling him into slavery and to the worship of wealth, generation after generation, humanity would not love God. And that was all God wanted, you see. That is all that God wants and has ever wanted. God wants to be our God. And God wants us to be her people. But humanity would not love God, and so chased after other things, mistaking the pleasures of life for the meaning of life. Abundance for some became scarcity for most, and God's heart broke a little. Humanity did not love God, but worshipped other things of their own creation, mistaking the one who created all things for idols of their own creation. Devotion to the one who offers humanity the chance to grow became obsession with items of our own creation, things which demand nothing of us precisely because they have nothing to offer. And seeing that we did not love her as much as we loved the things of our own creation, God's heart broke a little. God wanted so much to be with us. God wanted so much to be our God. So much that God created us and was faithful to us. Generation after generation, God forgave us every failing. God stayed faithful and humanity stayed faithless. And so God's heart was broken because God was left alone. We would not come to God. And so God came to us. We would not change our hearts to love God for who God is, so God was born exactly like us in order to be with us, in order that we might love God. And in the birth of Jesus Christ, finally, humankind were able to love God just as God is. We loved God unconditionally. We loved God unconditionally because God had 10 perfect little fingers and 10 perfect little toes to be counted over and over and over again. We loved God because of how God's hair smelled in the afternoon. We loved God because of the rise and fall of God's chest in sleep breath. We loved God because of the weakness of God's neck that called out for fingers to cradle God's head. We love God deeply, completely, fiercely. And finally, God was who God had always dreamed of being. God with us. God who knew what it was to hunger for the taste of milk, and God who knew that morning comfort of being wrapped in swaddling clothes to keep away the deep night's chill. Finally, God was who God had always dreamed of being. God with us. There are four songs that accompany the birth of Jesus. Three of these are songs of expression of human joy for what God has done for us. Because the Savior is coming into the world, swept people up into the story of God, and their lives were changed forever. They were altered at their essence by this encounter with God in Jesus Christ. But the fourth song, that is sung by the hosts of heaven. Because the Savior is coming into the world, swept God up into the story of humanity, and God was forever changed, altered at the essence, and in such a way that all of time and creation was finally complete, finally made sense in light of God's encounter with humanity. Almighty God was born on Christmas Day as a tiny infant. No longer almighty and untouchable in highest heaven, but weak and vulnerable and in a lowly manger and beloved for all that. Beloved by humankind at last and for God and all her angels, it was glorious to the highest heaven. Joyous beyond the capacity of mere words, sterility to capture. And so a song of delirious joy burst forth from heaven, calling out to embrace the whole world in peace and goodwill and among all those whom God has favored, overflowing into praise and canticles, ranks of angelic hosts singing with joy, and God's voice. God's own voice joined in that song too. God's own small voice joined that song. And God sang in a voice that sounded just like an infant's cry.